Quiet, please.
You're listening to Birdies and Bogeys, hosted by Jordan Bloxham and Weston Mon, bringing you golf's week in review, recapping your favorite tournaments with professional insight from their perspective. Now, quiet, please. Here's your hosts, Jordan and Weston.
Weston, how are you this evening?
Jordan, I am doing good.
We're good. Hey, and guess what? We're on record.
Yeah.
Listeners, we decided to take a week off, even though we technically got three quarters of a show unrecorded because of a player malfunction.
That's heartbreaking.
Yeah, or a co-host malfunction. That would be me. I guess I was thinking too much about because I was flying out to Bandon the following morning and I forgot to record.
Yeah.
My bad. But yeah. But Bandon Dunes was there first. Well, got in on Wednesday, flew out early Sunday morning. So got in Wednesday, did the punch bowl thing, although the punch bowl was looking rough.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was like long and kind of bumpy. I was kind of disappointed, but there played 36 Thursday, Friday, Saturday, back Sunday. But you've played it once, so we have similar things, and we were talking about why it's so fun, right? It's just the layouts are great. You've got a great piece of property, and then you had four different they have four, right? Because they have Doak, Kidd, Corey Crenshaw. Do they only have three designers there? Why am I drawing a blank? Because Corey Crenshaw did Sheep Ranch and that.
Yeah, I think there's quite a few, nonetheless. Oh,
and then Doak did. Oh, because did Doak do both Pack and? Oh no,
I think he was involved, but
yeah, Doak does one. I know that does, did Doak do both? Doak may have done both Old Mac and Pack Dunes.
Yeah, I think he was involved there. But I mean, the point is, like, you get all these multiple designers, and the reality is you get such a diversity with each course that each one is their own. You don't feel like you're playing the other one. And I think the two that even come the closest to having that experience would be even Pack Dunes and Bandon Dunes. But even then, they're still just so different to me. And so that's what I love about it. But how many times do you guys play the reserve?
Ooh. We didn't. Like the guys the group of guys that I go with, they, for some reason, and like I keep trying to work on them to play it, but for some reason,
that don't make no sense.
No, it doesn't.
So, no, and in fact, that to me was an absolute treat playing that par three course. And if I had reorganized this imaginary perfect trip at Bandon, I think I would, if I had 5 days of golf, I'd probably play it like three or four times.
Yeah.
Like that's how much I love it.
Like I said, if I were to plan the trip, like my ideal one would be 5 days where you play golf in the morning at one of the courses, right? Probably start the week off with just the classic, right? Do Bandon Dunes, then do Trails, and then Old Mac, and then Sheep, and then Pacific. I would finish my trip off with Pacific, but in between
Yeah.
those, at the end of those, I'd go play the Preserve a few times, and then do the Punch Bowl a couple of times, and then just chill out.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
So,
absolutely. But man, you got to do it. So that's pretty sweet.
yeah,
But
it was good, and we were talking 25 plus miles an hour at Bandon Dunes. That was the only course that we played twice.
yeah.
So it was,
Takes its toll.
but it was from different directions, and just having that much wind, you have to fill the shots, you have to play the shots that are there, and it's going to be windy. Links Golf, right?
Yeah.
You talked about, the final day, I hit an 8 iron from 92 yards twice in my final round.
Yeah.
And you're just like, that just doesn't happen a lot, right? Where
No.
you're doing stuff like that. So it's pretty cool. Like pack is still my favorite. You've only
Yeah.
played it once. I don't know what you're, I don't,
It's
we
my
talked.
favorite. Yeah, of
It's
all the courses, to me, it feels like the golf course was there before they made it.
yeah, it was there. Like I said, and you've got a great piece of property, and Doak doesn't really do anything bad.
No.
Especially when you give him land like that to work with.
And like, I think 4 out of 5, I would be content if that was the last golf course that I could ever play for the rest of my life. Not one time, but I mean, like, I was a forever member at that one course, and I could go play that every week. I could do that with 4 of the 5, like hands down, and wouldn't
Which
have a
one?
problem. Oh,
Which
which one would
one
I
is?
leave out?
Yeah, which one is not there?
I would say Sheep Ranch isn't there. I could do it on Old Mac. I could do it with
Yeah.
trails. I could do it with dunes, Pacific Dunes, and I could do it with Bandon Dunes. To me, I could do that on any one of those and feel like it's got what it takes to challenge me. And Sheep Ranch is challenging as well, but it's just there's some quirks to it, you know? And
I just
I don't like that 18 is 420 yards and it's a par five.
yeah, where
There's
you're,
that, right?
yeah, it's not there. And like, they relied solely on the views. There is not a lot to, right?
Yeah.
I shot 71 with two birdies and one par, and it was like the easiest
Yeah.
71 ever, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, I
Well,
didn't
that's
make
if
a
the
ton of putts, had a lot of
were the
looks,
greens
just
nice there on sheep?
yeah, they were good.
Because when I went, that it was like side growing fescue that was at least a half inch long that they like couldn't verticut because they weren't like mature enough.
Yeah, no,
But
they were fine.
oh, good.
I mean, they were fine that way. They were still slower. I left a
Yeah.
ton of putts just short, right in the jaws. But there's just like, two holes that you can really get yourself in trouble. And even there, like, I'm just like, okay, I'm just gonna hit. If I had any qualms, I'm just gonna hit a 2 iron. Right,
Yeah.
then it gets you where you've got no trouble, and even if it's into the wind, I mean, the one hit 2 iron, didn't hit it very good, but the green's so wide open, even though into the wind, I had to hit a little kind of knock you down, just flighted 5 iron, but I
Yeah.
didn't feel like it was going to get away from me because I had tons of room to the right if I needed to with a really big green. So, and I think they did that because there's no protection, but it's the same as Bandon, right? Bandon's got really no protection. There are some dunes that you protect you a little bit, and there's nothing. And it's still like
Yeah.
Chief Branch will forever remain my number five. It's just it's just not challenging enough. The views, yeah. Right? If you just want nothing but views and not really golf to distract you from those views, then that's that's going to be your may be your favorite course.
The course's only protection is just wind.
Yes,
like that's really, and if you catch a windy day, it's really easy to shoot in the high 70s. But if there's no wind, it's like
it's 71 was easiest because there wasn't a ton of wind. I mean, there were still some, but not like
Well, like when I played it on 17, the par three, it's kind of this short, quirky one right up against the coast. The
par three.
Oh, is that 16? Yeah, you're right. 16.
17's the par four. 17's the ghost trees. Yeah.
Yeah. So when I played it, I hit a stinger 3-iron into that. That's how windy it was. In fact, we went up to the edge of the green, and the wind was blowing sand up, and you could feel it hit your face. And the sand is about 150 yards down. Below you, like, and you could actually lean off the cliff a little bit and kind of stand just right. Like crazy, you know, let the wind hold you up. That's how windy it was, because the hole's only like a buck 50, but it was gnarly when I was there. I think when I played I shot like 77, but I mean that's really it. If you get wind out there, things get really hairy quick.
Yeah, and it's just but you're just playing in wind, right? It's just the difficulty is wind. It's not that you're going to shoot much more than that, because there's not really a lot of trouble, right? There's a couple of holes you can get it in trouble if it's blowing a certain direction that you're just you may hit it off of a cliff, right?
Yeah.
But other than that, you can aim away from it if you're wanting to.
But I would, at not even like 9 times out of 10, 10 times out of 10, I would choose like trails over ranch every time. And then probably 9.5 times all the other ones. It's just, So,
but no, like I said, it's not a bad piece of property, but
in fact, like if you haven't done it, you got to go do it for one. And number two, once you do it, you're always going to go back. And like, that's how amazing the place is, right? I mean, it's funny to be picky about high-end amazing courses and when you have all of them right there in a cluster. But yeah, I mean, dude, like if I could make this an annual trip, I would do it.
And that's what the guys I play with have, you know, pretty much done. They're actually to the point where they want to just do it every other year. And they go somewhere else in the off year, but that's kind of the go back too, right? It's not like in a 5-year rota, right? It's like go to Bandon, go to Sand Valley, go to Bandon, go to Streamsong, go to Bandon, go to Cabot Cliffs, go to Bandon, go to like the Kaiser Whistling Straits, portion of it. So it's definitely go to Pinehurst, and talk to a buddy of mine, and he says he still likes Pinehurst, and he's kind of like, he's like, at Pinehurst you have all championship golf courses, and I'm like, okay, I get that a little bit, but I'm like, but then you have to deal with the resort of Pinehurst and the busyness, where I think that's where Bandon kind of puts it over for me is you're going to get weather at Bandon, either wind or something.
You're going to get the full experience in one way or the other. And those guys that have been over in Scotland, they say good things about Bandon. and how it's set up and designed. And it really is. I mean, from a top 100 public golf course, I mean, they're all in the top 15 in the United States.
Yeah, in
So,
the public, yeah.
yeah. And I would probably rank these differently, but Bandon Dunes was number 7. Pacific Dunes is number 2, rightfully so. Bandon Trails is number 13. Old Mac is number 12. And then Sheep Ranch is number 15.
Yeah, I think sheep will kind of fall out of that, right?
Yeah.
As the newness goes away, but
But yeah, I think it will, but I Old Mac is, to me, is something pretty special. I think for some people, it either sits really well with them or they don't like it at all.
yeah.
And for me, like, I loved it. And so it just resonated with me. Bandon Trails, I think, is one of the more complete golf courses out there that actually match up really well with Dunes and Bandon. So.
And I think trails, if you really want to do trails, is the toughest course out there
Oh, yeah.
by far, I think. And it's a little bit protected, and it rightly so. I don't think you could play trails if it got super windy. I think it, there would there'd be some holes that would just be unplayable just because you couldn't get it to the right spots. But yeah.
No, it's good golf. Get out there and do not skip preserve, whatever you do.
Don't, like I said, I've been there 3 times and the guys just don't play it.
You got to just do
And I
that in
don't
the
set up.
morning before they get up.
Well, we get, yeah, the thing about it is I can't because we do 36 in a day, so you're first tee at 7:40, so there's not time to get that in.
Yeah, that's true. I played preserve first thing in the morning and then played 36 after. That was a big day.
Yeah, if you do in the there, you can't quite do that at in September. Even though
Yeah.
September seems to be like the best time, from
Yeah.
what I understand, it's like the most. It's the time when you're gonna get the least like rain and like
Yeah.
just Bandon-ish weather. So, but it was fun. It's just right. It's just it's golf. It's golf at its purest because it's just golf. You walk, you got quality golf courses that you have to hit golf shots on. Visually looks amazing. So just all about golf.
All about it.
So now
Well,
enough about golf that we play. Now it's about golf that we watch. And since we did watch, DJ's win streak continues. Last
yeah.
week, was the Boston Live Boston. DJ, definitely the most exciting finish, right?
Oh,
With
for
the
sure.
playoff.
Yeah. No, that was really cool. In fact, you can always hope a tournament's exciting, but sometimes they aren't. Sometimes a guy wins by 5 shots and it's just like, oh, he won by 5 shots. But this one did actually come down to a playoff, which is pretty amazing if you think about it. Like the odds of two players shooting the same score after the tournament's all said and done. But it's only been like, isn't this the fourth live event? And so to have one of them as a playoff, I'd say that's pretty crazy. But an excellent playoff between three players that were playing great. And that was DJ and then Joaquin Neiman.
Joaquin Neiman, new to the Live Tour.
New to
It
the
was
Live
kind of cool to
Tour.
see guys that right, some of their big names
Yeah,
that
I
are
mean,
new
Cam
ones
Smith
get
was
in.
what he was 1 shot out of that playoff at 14 under. So, But yeah, I mean that it was just a really good event from that perspective. And I just have to say this, like if you haven't watched a live event for the golf, then I think you're missing out because all you see is golf. Like there
Yes.
literally is nothing else other than just golf. It's pretty spectacular. And I think you'd be doing yourself a disservice if you didn't just watch it for the golf. And it's not like they have great commentary. They've got some straight shooters on there, and you got Faraday, and so the dialogue is entertaining as well. So
Well,
yeah,
and I
give
like
that
what
a
they,
shot.
and yes, they're paying Bubba, but I kind of like that where it would be kind of cool that if like, hey, we're gonna in this 14 thing, yeah, we're gonna have one of the guys, or when they're on injured reserve, then they go out and they just commentate, right? I mean, how fun that would that be? But you've got a lot of good going on, and you know, they keep getting bashed where they're like, oh, they don't care, right? They after DJ just hammers in that putt. It's going fast. I mean, let's
I
be
mean,
honest. If it doesn't go in, he's got a 12 footer coming back, at
yeah.
least.
Well, I mean, back it up. Like this hole is pretty cool. It's a par five.
Yeah.
And they all tee off, and I think two of them hit the fairway, and the other one kind of puts himself in a tough spot. But DJ
Yeah,
is like
Neiman put
50.
himself in a strut.
Yeah.
DJ just absolutely rips
Oh, he's
off the tee.
smoked it, and he was like 50 yards ahead of the next longest drive. And so these other guys are trying to pipe in woods, right, to this par five,
Yeah.
and Neiman's kind of
Trying to
down on
cutty.
the right side playing this kind of choppy cut out of this lie that he's got to just blast, and then DJ hits like a 7 iron. I mean,
Like
just absolutely
he
smokes
just
it.
nuked. Yeah, he's like, guys, this
And
isn't hard. What's going on?
yeah, and granted, he's literally a foot taller than both those guys, but he just threw a 7 iron up there, and it stopped up nice. He didn't hit the right tier that he was looking
Yeah.
for, so he had a putt. Well, the ball started to work away from the hole at the end of the shot, and it gave himself a really long eagle putt. But yes, the speed, the pace, he knew he had to hit it, right? Because he had
Right.
to go up this second tier. But he maybe had a little adrenaline or something because that thing came off like a rocket. And it literally, it didn't even drop. As it passed over the hole, it just like
Hit the back of the hole
hit the
up,
back of the putt,
man.
jumped up at least 3 inches into the air.
Oh, yeah.
Like this thing had some hang time, and then just plopped right in the middle of the cup, and it was just eruption of cheering and excitement. But yeah, I mean, can that eagle putt on the last to win? That's pretty special.
Yeah, and it's right, and they're like, well, you if and this is where they get flack, right? It's like the guys were like smiling and yeah, his competitors after that goes in, but I guarantee you make that putt to win. I don't know, maybe it's just a different vibe. It's definitely a different vibe. Sorry. I know it's a different vibe on that tour, but I'm like, it's okay for them to have fun. And yeah, they just lost in the playoff. But it doesn't matter. Like, it's okay for them to be like, oh my gosh, did you just see what just happened?
Yeah,
Right?
and they kind of, and honestly, like what happened on that green is the same thing that happened in like a foursome we played. Dude, if you get away with murder on the green because you rammed your eagle putt, dang right, I'm gonna razz you. Yeah, I'll give you a high five for making the eagle, but I'm gonna tell you when we sit in the cart, like you would have been off the green, bro, if you didn't hit the
Right.
back of that cup and you would have
Yes.
owned it, right? And that's the
Right.
kind of mentality they had out there. So it was cool.
And it just it kind of frustrates me that's how they're like, well, they don't care because they didn't
Well, I do want to
They
comment
didn't
on
just
that.
like drop their head and
Like, I've seen DJ win on the PGA Tour, and the most emotion you're going to get out of him is a fist pump. And I've even seen him even less emotional about a win. In fact, the one I remember most distinctly, he was leading the tournament. He was on 18 and he hits a short iron and he cans it. It's a walk-off win. Like, he holes out from the fairway and wins the tournament. And he was just like, oh, okay. And he just like, that was it.
Well, the thing about it is he wasn't like he still wasn't ultra excited. He was still just DJ. He was just walking up to get it out of the hole. Like, oh, it just went in. And his caddy was pumped. Well, for one, his caddy's pumped because he just got 10% of 4 mil. Right.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like, you would say, does this mean anything to him? I'll tell you what,
Hey,
I think that
I think it
meant something to
does.
DJ. I think it does. And I don't care if I'm playing in the freaking Provo Amateur or whatever, or if I win something, it means something to me. And
Right.
I'm just playing for freaking pro shop credit. So, like, I don't care. A win's a win, man. And he was playing against a freaking caliber field, to be honest.
And it's their best. It was their best
Strongest
field
field, yeah.
of to date.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
So that was good. So, yeah, I mean, to kind of add on what you started off with, so that's 14 straight years with a professional victory for DJ, and that's pretty impressive. And in fact, he's not an active player on the PGA Tour, but I don't think you can call Tiger an active player, but if DJ was active, he'd be the most winning player on tour. So.
yeah, he is, and this is now makes like since 2005.
Yeah.
What did you say? It's like four. It's a long time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was good.
But from the team perspective, that DJ's team is stacked. I mean, they've got, isn't it Perez and Patrick Reed? And
Yeah.
then
Well, they win again, and it's
they're
like
winning it.
they have the bet. But Liv is doing it the right way, right? They are continuing to add players and
Yeah.
making their tour better.
Yeah.
So.
No, absolutely. And yeah, one last tidbit to that Boston tournament. They did have their first hole in one by Mr. Matt Wolf.
Yes.
So that's pretty cool.
Was pretty cool, and another thing is they're allowing shorts
Oh, yeah.
after day one came out. Greg Norman did his nice little tick or Instagram with the transition into shorts, and it was, but I mean, what is your take on that?
It doesn't change the caliber of play. Like, only thing you're gonna see is guys that are called athletes that have legs that don't look like athlete legs. That's all.
I don't know. Do you look at Phil's calves and he's pretty
Well,
ripped.
that's Phil, but you know what I mean. Like, I mean, yeah, they're athletes, but they're not known for their explosive, energy or their vertical or their sprint. They're just known for swinging a golf club really fast around their body, and they're really good at it. But I don't think it diminishes anything. Like, in reality, sports has adapted over the years for all kinds of different play, right? Like, if you just take baseball, what were jerseys like in baseball when it first started? And
Right.
things have just evolved. I mean, even with golf, Bobby Jones went out there with a tucked tie in a button-up shirt and a vest, right? If you don't know what restrictive is, go put on a freaking vest and a button-up shirt and then try and play golf. And what has it turned into? Hey, we're wearing some kind of like microfiber blend stretchy polo that doesn't even feel like you're wearing a shirt when you're out there, right? And so, hey, evolves into shorts, and I think that's great. And again, you make players more comfortable and they play better golf.
And it's like I said, it's it drives me nuts that, right, all this. Yeah, it's just let golf evolve and it's doing what it's doing.
And I think the most difficult thing for people to do is to look at what's happening on LIV and immediately compare it to the PGA Tour. And I'm like, guys, this is not the same product. You have to
No.
realize that if LIV wanted to make the same product, they would have had 4-day tournaments, 18 holes, 72 holes over 4 days, and stroke play with a cut. And they could have easily done that. And then it would have been a truly competitive product from what they're actually releasing. But it's not. It's a completely different product. So it's apples to oranges. Yeah, there's stroke play involved, but it's over 4 days. It's a shotgun style event. It's a team event as well. And it's a different product, right? And if you can accept that, then you can accept all these other quirky changes they have. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they just had their own rules. Like, why not? Who cares?
Well, you can. I mean, at this point, you can,
And if
right?
honestly, if I was Greg, I'd be like, and the new rule is if you hit your ball in the fairway and you land a divot, you get a free drop. No closer to the hole. That's the LIV golf rule. And I'd be like, everybody in the world be like, duh. But they're just different products and you can't compare them. But people are like, well, in the PGA Tour, they play with pants. Like, it's PGA Tour, it's a whole different product. Just let it go.
Right. It's dumb. It really is. Yeah, they can't compare. It's two different products. And the thing about it is they're going to evolve.
Yeah.
So.
I think down the line, it will start to evolve into a product similar to the PGA Tour
Yeah.
because we do love professional golf in that perspective. And I think we'll see a little bit more of that. But yeah, right now I would rather call it exhibition golf rather than tournament golf, right?
Oh, you would rather? Like I said, yeah, I mean I guess I can see that a little bit, but
I mean, there's a tournament in it,
yes.
but to me, Ryder Cup is exhibition golf. So more of a team
Yes.
aspect to it.
Right. I think,
But
I mean, it is what it is.
yeah.
And there's no reason why they both can't exist. That's
And
what
I think
kind of
that was the
drives me
whole
nuts.
point. But yeah, I'm talking of this is the best thing I've heard out of all of this, though. Phil finally speaks out because he's been super quiet. And he's on record saying, and the PGA Tour magically found another several hundred million of dollars. Wow. Magically, they
Right.
found more money. And it just goes to show that Phil was right all along. The PGA Tour was holding out, and he felt like the players should have gotten more. And now he kind of was this poster child for disruption, and he did the change, and now everything's getting better for a lot of people. People
Yeah.
have choices. People have options that are those marquee players that mean something. And so you love him or hate him, but the guy was right.
And he's made, right? He's made everybody else way more money.
Oh, yeah.
And it just, the fact that nobody still says, well, he was right. There's a lot of money all of a sudden available.
Magically found it.
Magically found. Hundreds of million dollars. And he's like, I think it's great. He's like, that's awesome. Right?
Yeah. Yep. No, it's pretty cool that they're able to do that for the players, you know, but not cool how it went down, but it kind of had to go that way. But yeah, continuing on the LIV news, you know, more top 10 players moving to LIV. There's some rumors out there that there's another top 10 guy, and he was not pleased with the Rory Tour.
The Rory
Tour. At least that's the rumor going on, right?
I love that it was the Rory Tour.
And like, and I'd a couple of episodes ago, I talked about this. Rory has been very vocal against LIV because if any of the top 20 players from the PGA Tour leave the PGA Tour, they can't participate in Rory and Tiger's joint venture of exhibition golf, which then waters down their product.
Yep.
And so for him to protect his investment in this endeavor with Tiger, he's been doing everything he can to keep the players on tour. And he's become this poster child for the PGA Tour. And it's kind of, I can see how it's turned people the wrong way. And I mean, it turned me the wrong way. I'm like, okay.
Well, but the fact that he was like, really, it's all for the good of the game, the good of the game, right? It was kind of how he placed it. Well, there you're playing for tradition and legacy, and you're kind of playing for a crap load of cash because your product isn't worth as much that you've been working on. That now all of a sudden they're like, wait, right? Now, all of a sudden you got this other tour doing and handing out money, and they're taking away players that I would want to have play in my exhibition leagues because they're the top players, right? They draw crowds.
Yeah. And it's just funny because it's a money grab in reality. And at least people going to LIV have accepted that. Like, yeah, I get paid more money and I play less golf. That's why anybody leaves a job, because they get more money and they have maybe do less. It's not a bad gig. But you know, this social media post came out from Fred Couples. I don't know if he saw it.
Yeah.
But he's like, sorry to all my friends and family whose birthdays and events that I missed while I was out here on the PGA Tour earning a living. Oh, so you did play the PGA Tour to make money. Okay, cool. So that was your goal. You literally just said it. And now you've got players that have jumped over to a new exhibition tour or league or whatever, and they do it because they're earning money. You're literally doing the same thing.
Yeah.
it's there. Just they have more time on their hands than they can go to all those events and birthdays. And
well, so. And it's like they're still working the weekend,
mm-hmm.
right? But they have time to do some other things. And it's like all these old guys are bitter at the fact that they didn't get the option, right? They didn't have the option of doing this. And so they're all like, well, wait a second. I'm like, well, no, you guys took the lead and you guys followed Jack and Arnie and
you made out like bandits.
Jack and Arnie did the same thing when they split from the PGA of America, right? Why did they do it? So that they could have more control of their door. And they were upset because the PGA of America was taking too much money. Sounds familiar.
It's just a silly, silly predicament.
And it's just, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
No, but yeah, on that note, we do have a few more updates on Liv. The an ASU senior.
Yes. I think this is the big thing, right? That they're gonna start getting.
Yeah.
They're gonna start getting young guns. And they're like, wait a second, I can either go here and try and go through a rigorous qualifying school for if I'm in the top five, I get a guaranteed $550,000. So if I'm in the top five after going through three stages and eight, so I have to get through 14 grueling rounds to get to this point.
Q school is no joke, and it's really interesting. I've seen great players not do well in Q school, but you know, some then eventually made it on tour and had great careers. But then I've seen some people kill it in Q school and just have horrible careers. And it's an incredible test, but I don't think it's the best test. I'd probably, if I sat down and thought about it, I'd probably concoct something different. But in reality, the other sports out there, if you're a football player, you're a baseball player, if you're a top player in those arenas, you are getting some guaranteed cash out of some draft picks. Like if you're in first round pick in football, my goodness, you've got some cool stuff ahead of you for sure. But in golf, there really wasn't anything. It was like they just recently started to like, oh, you can have a sponsorship exemption into a few tournaments and you can play your way on. There's your gift. But now Liv comes in and they're like, hey, do you want a signing bonus? Wait, what? You mean like it's like a first round pick out of the draft? Yeah, you want some guaranteed money, a contract? Come play. And to me, like, that's the whole goal, right? You play so well in college to play professional golf to make money. And then you get this opportunity, like, that's a no-brainer.
It's right. I think they reported him for 15 mil, I think is what his signing bonus was. And I'm like, okay, I get to forego my senior year and make 15 million and play professional golf.
Done.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And yeah, I mean, 15 million isn't that much, but
it's not, but I mean,
that to me though, to me, that's life-changing money for me and my kids. Like, yes, that's gonna provide a long legacy, and even down to my grandchildren.
If you do it right, and if he's smart, he gets in there. And the really good part about that is that I think most of their travel is covered too.
And accommodations and caddies get some nice benefits.
They get their travel covered. So you've got a lot of benefits that's actually, and even right now on the PGA Tour, they're adding this money, right? They're adding this money, but then you still have to pay for all your expenses.
Yeah.
So let me see. I can take, even if it's equal, right? PGA Tours, I'm gonna make $15 million. Okay, Live Tour, I'm gonna make $15 million. But one guy, is the gets the $15 million. One guy has to pay for his all his stuff. One guy, it's on top, right? It's included in the compensation package. It's $15 million and your travel. Let me think about this for a little bit. Oh yeah, I'm gonna take the one where the $15 million doesn't get dipped into on part of that. So
It's a big deal. Like that right there, that's an immense competitive advantage if you're providing those types of benefits right out of the gate. So I suspect more top amateurs from the college ranks will be going the live route. And hey, more power to them because they're going to continue to make their league stronger and provide a quality product. So that's how you do it. I mean, it's no secret to throw money at stuff. Like back in the 80s, I think the number one milled putter on tour was a Tad Moore Dunlop, and they didn't pay anybody to play their putters. People just played them, which was pretty cool. But once Scotty Cameron got out on tour, he got the backing of Titleist to basically bankroll the initiative, and they started issuing player contracts. Hey, you play Scotty Cameron, we'll pay you X amount of dollars a week. I don't know what those numbers were back in the 90s, but tell you what, the stable of players that played Scotty Cameron grew pretty darn quick when there was a weekly paycheck along with you playing it. So
Right.
it's no secret. I mean, yeah, he does make fantastic putters, but if you invest in it the way he did, then you can have a lot of players start playing your stuff.
Right. Oh yeah. You will get some people to play it, and then right, and some of them will play it just because they get the thing, right? Because how many, do you know how many contracts he has now? Because I know that not everybody that gets a Circle T, the tour issued Scotties, they're not all of them are on contract.
No, there's only a
A
few out
handful.
there. And some of them are probably going to be wrapped into some 14 club bag contract, and
Titleist,
Titleist
yeah.
actually has a ton of those guys on tour. There are more people on Titleist staff than you could even imagine. Like it's double to some of these other companies, if not triple or quadruple. And so they have a lot of people on staff, and they win bag counts, and they win iron counts and putter counts and all that stuff. And it's all tied in. So.
Yeah, that's just crazy.
Yeah.
But in other kind of live related news, because the BMW Championship was this week, and
Yeah.
there was the whole thing about they let live players on the thing, on the
The
tour,
DP World
the DP
Tour.
World Tour. They let live players play. And what was there,
Kick
like 10 of them,
them
I
off the tour, Doug.
think. But Shane Lowry wins it with a bogey
Yeah.
365.
Woof.
Rory almost rolls in an eagle on the last hole to tie.
Yeah.
But some of the best lines were Rory in his hole, talking about the competition part of it and was like, well, you know, there's a lot of them here, and it's, if they're in competition, I don't know, they're only used to playing 54 holes, so Sunday they might just wear out. And then in a amazing like turn of events and ironically the Queen of England passes.
Yeah.
And so the tournament gets shortened to 54 holes. Oh, just a slap of karma for the Rorster. And his former tour that he cannibalized to make more money and left
exactly
to go play on the PGA tour. But yeah, it got shortened there. So his whole, you know, they only play 54 whole thing turned into a great meme. But then when they got done, like, and it's getting to be a joke. And it's like Shane Lowry was like, well, at least, you know, one of the good guys won. I'm like, really? You're one of the good guys, Shane? Why? Because you play on the PGA Tour?
Yeah.
So it's just, it's getting old, right? It's getting old there. What can only be at this point, just jealousy rather than, hey, they went there. Great. That's great. Good for them. I'm going to play this. We're playing in the same tournament. I'm trying to beat him. He's trying to beat me. Let's have a go. I mean, so
yeah,
but they just turned it in there, and it's a lot of it's media driven, like Ian Poulter and Billy Horschel. They're big dust up on the putting green at Wentworth, and they both have come out and be like, they were like, no, not that big of a deal. It really wasn't that big of a deal.
No,
we were discussing, because I don't even think they were talking there. In the article that I was reading, is like they had a conversation. I think Billy said he had a conversation with Lee Westwood and Ian Poulter like for an hour the day before or one of the nights in front of the hotel. And it's like, so they just talked. And right, if you went to any tournament, you'd see two guys having a conversation that may be animated. So are they arguing at that point every time? Or are they just having an animated conversation because Billy is animated and Ian's animated? Right? And I will say that you showed me it. I didn't see it, but Ian Poulter's voiceover, original audio, was classic. Oh, it was
so good.
It was classic. So those guys are having fun with it. Guys in the PGA Tour need to take a Valium or something. Chill out a little bit.
Yeah, chill out. It would be a good idea. But those guys are funny. Yeah.
Secondary news, Scottie Scheffler wins the Player of the Year.
Yeah.
But he was the only one in the conversation, truthfully. Because as soon as Cam Smith left for Liv, he was immediately annexed from the conversation.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, they were not going to give him, even if he had two majors, and he basically did, right? The Players is considered, the tour considers that a major, and he gets the Open Championship. Even if he would have had three more wins, and like significantly, like everything else was significantly better than Scottie Scheffler's, there's no chance that Cam Smith was getting it. So the only logical choice for the PGA Tour Player of the Year was Scottie Scheffler.
Yeah.
So.
And Scottie played great.
And Scottie was, yeah. He was good. So not unexpected, but kind of secondary news. Mm-hmm. Now let's get into our favorite part.
Ah, what's in the bag?
It's in the bag.
Let's do it. Well, we have two bags to go over because last
Yes.
week, DJ, he won Live
Yes.
Boston. And so we'll kind of give a run through
So on
his
this
bag.
one, he did have a nine wood in the bag.
He did.
He did have a nine wood in the bag. I was
Confirmed.
because I was reading an article about somebody from golf.com that went to the event. And Greg Norman, and it said Greg Norman, he's like at the gate of the field, but it said Greg Norman on one of the tee boxes grabbed out DJ's nine wood and was swinging it. So
I'll have to pull up the exact stats, but okay, so let's start it off. I mean, yeah, he's got a stealth driver. He's playing the Fujikura Speeder 661 Evolution 2.0 Tour Spec, which he has
it's
played for literally 22 years.
yeah yes he is smattered. He has taken little like one tournament breaks, because I know that there for a little bit he was playing the Ventus Black, and then he played another one, and then he put an LA golf shaft in there for a little bit. But the 661 Evolution 2.0 Tour Spec X is like, if he can find one, he's playing it,
Oh
right?
yeah.
If
Yeah.
he has
And
one available to him, he's playing it. So,
totally.
or at
So
least
yeah,
going back to it.
he's got a pretty interesting bag, especially for a dude that is one of the longest players in the game, hands down.
He
I
talked about
and
it, 50 yards past everybody in
oh my
the playoff.
gosh.
And when he wants to, he just goes and gets that extra gear.
And here he is, not only just one of the longest, but also one of the best players in the world alive right now. And this guy has a driver, a three wood, a seven wood, and a nine wood.
Yeah, and I don't know whether he had the 7 wood and 9 wood. My guess is that 7 wood came out for this one, but
Yeah, but and
he
he's
has those available to him, both those
yeah.
options.
And so he plays a 16.5 degree three wood, which is kind of essentially a four wood.
Yeah.
And so the four wood seven wood combo is really good. And the reason it's shifted from like a three wood five wood combo is because the faces on these fairways have gotten hotter, at least in the past 10 years. Like this,
Yes.
ever since
Oh,
rocket
for sure.
balls. Like things have
Yeah.
gotten more advanced with the fairways, and they're just hotter. So you can
Yes.
get they're manipulating the design of those woods to fly higher with less spin, thus going farther, landing softer, and you don't need a 13 degree three wood anymore. You can play, a 16 and a half degree three wood, which is actually a four wood, and still get more benefit out of it.
Yes.
And that's really what's happening.
And
The seven wood
with the
today is
height.
really the five wood of yesterday.
Yeah. Well, and you get the little
And
bit more height too, right?
yeah.
So.
And DJ, I mean, he does play higher lofts anyways. Like his driver, it says 10.5, but it is at 12 and a half degrees.
That's so crazy.
So
Just for. For one of the longest hitters on tour, which tells you that, right, he creates so much ball speed, but his launch angle has always been fairly low, right? He launches it low with the driver, so, and spins it a little bit, so he needs kind of those, he wants a little bit higher spin, which is achieved by going to 12.5. And probably gets his launch to about 10, right? 10 and 25 or 10 and 23, which for him is perfect.
He comes through and his swing methodology, just to kind of dive into that so you understand his angles, he has a fairly strong grip on the club. That face points, not only does he supinate his left wrist at the top of his swing, so it's bowed, so it makes it even look more severe, but with a slightly strong grip and the bowed wrist, his face is pointing straight up in the air. You could literally balance a cup on the face of his driver.
Oh, yeah.
And when you have a stronger grip, you the way you have to come into that that shot is with more lower body release. So him and Morikawa both do this, but they hit fades. And to hit those fades, you really have to release your lower body. And then with your stronger grips, you need to just, if you're not rolling over the hands, otherwise you'd be left of left. You kind of have to block that release and hold it off. And that's where there's a whole lot less launch that's happening out of that.
Well, yeah,
And
when he
so,
gets there, he actually gets there where he's like he's
yeah.
got the bow in his left wrist, sets it up there. He actually releases that a little bit. Most players will be a little bit flatter and then
Bend the bow into it.
let the bow into it, where he actually is so bowed he actually comes out of it a little bit and then just holds and crushes.
So, but that's why extra loft is a benefit to him. And because of his mechanics, he is producing a little bit less spin, but that's crazy. He's got a 7 wood, 21 degrees, and then a 9 wood at 24. Like, there really isn't much need for a 3 iron. Or maybe even a 4 iron, depending on the setup. But again, he's so stinking long that a 4 iron for him is like a 250 club, which is just
Yeah, just
insane.
breaks, breaks.
But he's still playing the P730 DJ Protos. And these irons came out, what, like 2016? No, they.
The P730s, but they did a design for him. They did a design for Rory, right? They did a design for Tiger, which, right? All those guys are still playing them, right? But it's the design that they wanted, right? So they're like, why would you move off of that when it's like, yeah, this is what I wanted.
They came out in 2017. So I was actually not too far off on my exaggeration. It came out in 2017, and the DJ P730 is different. And I know this. It actually has a little bit longer blade profile than the P730s. So the P730s are a pretty compact blade, but the DJ P730s are actually longer heel to toe. So not a bad combo, but that's the difference. And then he's got Dynamic Gold X100s in there. And then from a wedge perspective, he's got a really cool setup. He plays the actually MG1. The first gen MG wedges from TaylorMade, and it's a 52 degree bent to 54. And that particular wedge does have a little bit of offset. It's nothing severe by any means, but the leading edge is just a little bit tucked behind the front of the hosel. And so when you bend that thing 2 degrees weak, it just creates a nice flush look. And that's a cool sandwich to look at. And then he's got a 60 degree in there. And
So
pretty good stuff.
he kind of gets that gapping, right?
Oh,
Right.
yeah.
Where it's same thing. We're gonna look at a little bit different wedge setup in the next what's in the bag that we do.
Yes.
But
Yeah.
then he's got his Spyder GT Black, which
Yeah.
it's just
And
the newer version of the same putter that he's
you the funny
played
thing
with.
is for the most part, DJ is incredibly predictable, except for with putters.
Yes.
And I have actually seen pictures of him showing up to a golf course, a tournament nonetheless, with 5 different putters, and he'll just pick the one that he feels like is rolling. And but in this case, yeah, he's got the newer Spyder GT Black that he used to win. So, but typically sticks with the mallets.
He sticks with the spiders, no line. Because when he in his testing, he aimed the line like 6 degrees to the right.
Yeah, and if you haven't read the article, you gotta find it. But basically, TaylorMade built like 7 or 8 different of the same putter.
Yeah.
7 or 8 of the identical same putter, but with different alignment aids on top. Maybe it was 3 dots. Maybe it was one single line. Maybe it was 3 lines. Maybe it was 2 half lines and 1 full line. Maybe it was 1 small line in the middle. Or two lines along the whole. I mean, they made seven or eight of them.
Yeah.
And with lasers, they were able to test and measure, and they found out that certain alignments made him point left, and certain alignments made him point right, and then no alignment, he was dead square. That's pretty amazing.
It's crazy, which is why he always putts with no line,
Yep.
no matter what.
And then there's guys like you who like lines and dots.
Lines and dots, which we will be getting that
We'll be
squared
working on
away.
that.
And it will only get better because it's the Highlands working good right now.
There you go.
Working good. But yeah, then he plays the 2019 TPA TP5X, which is the ball that most players, if they're on staff with TaylorMade, are probably playing because of a
That's
newer iteration
interesting.
I've heard of some not great things about. But let's get into Shane Lowry.
Yeah, lead it off. You're an expert in Srixon.
Am not their drivers. Like I said, their drivers have been okay. Their new one, I have seen it. It's much better. But he's got the Srixon ZX5, which is if you're talking Srixon, right? The ZX5 is the player improvement version, right? The ZX7 is a smaller one. So if you're comparing it to something, it'd be like the ZX5 is the TSR3 and the 7 is the TSR4, just a little bit smaller compact
Yeah.
version. But he goes with the ZX5 and then he's got the Diamana whiteboard 70TX. So he's just trying to keep that spin down. Get that penetrating ball flight. Probably spins it a little bit with the Strix on. And then he goes into his three woods and he goes like three wood, five wood, which here's the typical combination, right? But he goes the Sim 2, the titanium
Yeah.
in 15 degrees, and then goes which he's got three different shafts in his three different woods. But they're all going for different things, right? The hazardous smoke glue is RDX, is ADTX. So it's got a little bit lower of a kick point than like the black has. So he's trying to kick it up a little bit, but the 80 degrees flattens out the spin a little bit. And then he's got a five wood, the TaylorMade M5. Like, so he's all over the board with his fairway woods. But then he's got that turned down to 18.25. But then he's got a DI 8X, which is a little bit even lower kick point, trying to get it the height in it. So, righty. The nice thing about like Cleveland Srixon staffers is they usually only have like a 11, 10, 11 club deal, right? They want them with their irons and wedges is really where they want them. And
That's
then
pretty
their
much
woods,
it.
they can kind of go with whatever. But then he's got the DI 8X again. He's trying to get a high launch, but knock down that spin with the 8X. And then he's got the Srixon ZX utility, which is, I don't know if it's got to be the original one because the other one is, there's two versions. So it could be the newer one, it could be the older one. The older original ZX utility was fantastic.
I
It's a better
wonder
one than the new one, in my opinion.
I wonder which one it is.
It could be. That's the new one. That's the
That's
newer
the new
one.
one. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the newer one. A little bit more rounded. So he's got that, and then he's got ZX5, 4 and 5 iron. So and then 6 through pitching wedge. So similar setup to what. I don't have the utility, but I have the ZX5 in the 5 and 6, and then 7 through pitching wedge in the ZX7.
Oh,
So
nice.
very similar setup to mine. But I don't know what he's got him bent to, but he goes the so he goes with a no Nippon in his 3 iron. Right, which he's trying to just again 120x, so he's stiffer shaft, so he's just trying to flatten out that ball flight, right? This one's just a he wants something that still gets up in the air with the MOTIS, a little bit lower kick point than his KBS Tour 130x's that are in his four through pitching wedge. So he's trying to kick it up, keep that spin down. KBS Tour trying to, get that spin where he wants it, but still have enough to it. And then he goes, right. So with all that stuff going up on at the top of his bag, you've got to take out clubs somewhere.
Yeah.
And he does that with his wedges, right? He goes the Cleveland RTX Zip Core. He goes a 50 degree mid grind, which is mid bounce. And then he goes into the 58.8. I think they're both mid. No, that's, yeah. But let's see. Let's pull up the picture of it. You still have the picture of it pulled up.
Yeah.
They show his wedges because I've seen a couple of wedges. It's got a little bit, almost looks like the high toe in it, but it's got a
Yeah.
little bit of extra. It's actually the low ground, low bounce in this one. It's a little different. It's the raw,
Yeah.
but is it not the high? That's looks like the high toe to me. It doesn't show the other side, but that looks like it's got way more. Like the full toe or whatever they call it.
It
Looks like
might
it's a little
be.
higher, a little bit
Yeah, he's.
more on that
I
toe
mean,
end.
that's a pretty bold move. Like, here's a guy that he's got essentially today's gap wedge, right? Because the pitching wedge is already at 46 degrees.
Yeah.
And so he rounds it out with a 50 degree wedge, which has some versatility to it. It's got a pre-worn leading edge, so it's
Yep.
great from the fairway. And then there's a little bit of trailing edge relief, kind of like a
Yep.
Vokey S grind or something. And so this is still a wedge that can get a lot done. And
Yes.
50 degrees, I mean, that's
And he
you.
can do a lot with it, right? It's going to be versatile, but where he's limited, and he's got the same thing, with his 58 degree bounce, but he's got a little bit more toe. Right, where it kind of good. So there's some grind work on it so that it's a little different, but he can't have too low of a bounce on this one, right? Because
No.
he's got to, it's got to be versatile. It's the only thing
It's,
over 50
yeah.
degrees that he has in his bag.
And that's just the reality of it. And it does look like a wedge that just doesn't come out of the bag either. So it's one of those wedges that has enough bounce to deal with things like Bermuda and softer conditions, but also a lack of bounce to where he could easily put this in play in some more firmer
Firmer
conditions
conditions,
because of
yeah.
the grind. He's got a lot of heel relief and he's got a lot of toe relief, and there's a good chunk of trailing edge relief. I,
Trailing
as I
edge.
was, as I was looking at this, I jokingly called it like an MT grind. It's like a
Yeah.
Vokey M grind, but with more relief, like a T grind. So
Right.
it's really right in between. So honestly, I think it's a fantastic grind, considering
Yeah.
it's got to be highly versatile.
It does have to be highly versatile. But then he's got the Tour wedge, the KBS Tour wedge
Yep.
X in there. And then the old Odyssey White Hot 2-ball. This is like your favorite, right?
Oh, this is right up my alley. This
This
is
is.
old school. So he's got the White Hot Pro
Pro.
insert in there.
Yeah.
And it is an updated model to where they have a weight that's screwed into the trailing bump of the two ball. But yeah, this thing is one of the earlier models, and I think he actually won the Open, I think, with a different one. But no, this is a good one. When you get the White Hot insert, like it's pretty money. And I still have an OG two ball, and it's a fantastic putter. It's just one of those things that stood the test of time.
Yeah, for sure. So, like I said, you still putt with it every once in a while.
Oh yeah. Yes, I do make putters, and that's fun and it's awesome because I love the stuff that I make, but funny enough, and I'm okay, like, you got to play what works. And yeah, maybe I just need to make a mallet or something, but
we'll get on that one.
But this particular putter, it just jives with me and I can't fight it. I think it's ugly as heck, but you know, this little duckling just gets the job done. And I've never made like more 8 to 10 footers with a putter in my life than with a two ball.
It's crazy. That is crazy. But speaking of putters, so your putters are in the boutique-y price range, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, nothing like this putter.
No, nothing like it at all. In fact, most people message me and they're like, thank you so much for doing this. Like, $750 for a putter that has steel with its origins from Germany and has a classic answer to style shape. Most people are like, that's amazing that you're actually doing this for less than $1,000. So, yeah. But you know, that's the jive that I get. But yes, when somebody else's name is on there, things change.
Some guy named Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods and Mr. Scott E.
Cameron. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, is one of his Scott. And this is where I'm like, and I still, right? Tiger's pretty private and pretty close to the vest with things. It still astonishes me that there's a handful of these putters roaming the earth.
Well, this is kind of how it goes around, right? For one, Scotty Cameron, ever since Tiger started playing golf, Scotty Cameron has always made him a Newport 2 every year. And Scotty doesn't make the same Newport 2 for Tiger. He improves upon the design and then he'll give that one to Tiger. And then the next year he'll improve upon the design. So it'll be a completely different Newport. And then he'll give him that putter. So he's been doing this for years and years. And this particular one is on auction. It is obviously a Newport 2, but the years that it came out, it's the 2002 shape. And so if you did hop onto scottycameron.com and you looked at some of the older models,
right,
this is essentially the identical shape to the first Newport 2 Pro Platinum that came out. And it's a good looking head. But yeah, the first Newport 2 that came out. And what's unique about this one is it's got a flush hosel. The hosel is in perfect line with the top line. So it's a very symmetrical appearance from above. And yeah, I mean, it's identical. It's literally the same offering as the retail. So yeah, I wouldn't say that there's anything particularly special about this other than the fact that it was made for Tiger by Scotty, and it is made of the German stainless steel.
Yeah, and it's got his signature on it.
Yeah, and Tiger signed it.
Yeah.
But typically what Tiger has done is he's taken these putters, and if he didn't like them, he would provide them in some type of charity auction. And I believe that's what he's always done. And that's how these putters really get out. It's not that he just gives it to some dude. Like, he's always managed to like sell it at one of his Tiger Woods Learning Center events to raise money for his programs and things like that. So that's really where they kind of get out.
Right. So it's, yeah. But, you know, right now, current bid, how long are they having it on for? Because their current bid right now is 248 G's.
Yeah, 248 grand. It's been
on the market for
like 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And this particular one has 5 days left. So hurry fast, sell your house, so you can afford this little piece of history.
Yeah.
And it's super rare, to be honest. I mean, it is a Scotty Cameron GSS Tiger Woods putter, but it's got Tiger's signature on it. Like,
yeah,
that's crazy.
The fact that that one came out. And so my thing is do you think he's like, what in the heck? He's like, I auctioned this off for charity. Now some guy's listing it for profit.
You know what? But that's how it goes. Like,
you have to know at some point, right? it's gonna do that. So
yeah, absolutely. So no, I say great. You know, it played its part. It made a good cause. Now the guy took that investment and is now selling it. Good for him. He's the one who ponied up the cash in the first place. So
yeah, and yeah, it may have been sold a couple more times in between.
Yeah,
and this may be somebody else that actually had it before, right? It may have changed hands a couple of different times where, right, just in some local kind of deal.
Yeah.
But do they have, I mean, the question is, do they have anything? Is it authentic? Do they have
they've got all the
stuff.
Yeah, I was just looking at the golden auction. They have the COA from Scotty Cameron.
Okay.
Saying it is 100% authentic, top to bottom, made for the tour, Newport 2 in GSS with rare vertical stamping and big tour dots. I mean, and it's freaking TW stamped on the front and Tiger Woods on the bumpers. I mean, that's the real certificate of authenticity that matters, that it's been inspected by Scotty and Scotty right. has verified it. And then on top of that, there is a secondary letter of authenticity. And this one comes from just like another authenticity office in sports memorabilia. And they just run through it and, you know, have pictures verifying that it is what it is. And so,
right.
I think it's even like, yeah, he's an official and then it's notarized.
Okay.
So legally it has been verified.
Legal. Yeah,
so
it's illegal.
That document to me is like, yeah, who cares? When Scotty says it's real, that's really the one that matters.
That's all that matters, right?
Yeah, it really is. So pretty phenomenal. Beautiful piece. Would I like to own it? Yes, but I don't have $250,000. This thing will probably end up north of 300K. So
yeah, by then somebody will come in and bump it up right to the last minute, just to a point where nobody else wants to spin.
Right.
Over in. But yeah, it's crazy. But if you have that money and you like golf, then go get it. It's out
if
there.
If you got like a $15 million signing bonus for joining Liv.
Quig. Quig, it's on it. Go get it, buddy.
Do it.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Save your money. Like I said, it's an investment. It still is an investment.
It is an investment. This is an asset that grows in value. So
yeah. You're right. It will definitely be worth more money than that moving forward. So, but other than that, you haven't played golf in a while. We're going to just.
Oh, life comes at you fast, man. I've been so busy.
Yeah.
But yes, I do need to go play and realize what it's like to swing a golf club again. The last time I did play, I did go out to Cedar Hills with my daughter. We played 9 holes. And we kind of, we had a blast. I let her drive, got to get her ready for driving age, you know. And the cart on a golf course is a great starting place. Yes. But Cedar's no joke. There's some treacherous cart paths on the backside there you got to watch out for.
Yes, it
But
gives
that
them
was
the
it.
it gives them the full gambit, right?
Yep.
You get real driving. It's not just flat course driving.
A little bit of fear in there. But no, ball striking's been good. I've got a nice move going. I lost 30 pounds, so it's easy
You're
swinging.
prime fighting weight.
I
That's
am
good.
lean.
Well,
So
then.
yeah, I need to get out and play, especially now that fall's kicking in. Like the
Oh,
weather's nice.
weather's ill. Finally, it's been
Yeah.
100, so we just need to. Now it's supposed to be, I think, at least in the Salt Lake Valley, it's supposed to. There's chances of rain the rest of the week, and then like mid to low 70s working into the weekend, which is. It's finally fall. It broke the 100
Yeah.
streak, and we're on the right track.
But in all honesty, with the excitement of a middle school boy ready for a fight, you tell me when and where, and I will be there.
Okay. We'll get but other than that, I think that's it. Another live tour tournament this week, Chicago. So,
Golf to watch.
and then I think the f start of the PGA Tour
Wait,
season.
what?
Well,
It just ended. Wait, it just
it just
began.
ended. Let's just like us, ours just ended, and now we've started our season.
Yep.
It's over, episode one of this
And
season. So.
this is a it's a fun one, near and dear to me because it's played at Silverado Country Club, which is my high school home course.
There you go. So
Great track.
you'll have some insider knowledge. My guess is they've made a few updates
Just a few
since you've been
since
there, but
20, let's see, yeah, 22 years ago. So no,
are
wait,
they? So
23. Oof.
the question is LIV Tour going to try to compete for that Sunday spot? Let's see. I was gonna. Events. It is the 16th through the 18th. Nope. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. They're not competing with the Sunday finish, which is another thing that they did that doesn't mess with the PGA Tour. It gives the PGA Tour still some, right? Gives them a Sunday. So,
Yeah. Well, I mean, if I had the opportunity to play on either tour, the live would be incredibly enticing because then I'd have Sunday reserved for football. Wouldn't have to worry about it. Just sit down and watch football.
there you go. Oh, well, that's it for this week.
Yeah.
And everybody, thanks for listening. Until next time. We're out. Thanks for listening to this episode of Birdies and Bogeys. If you enjoyed what you heard, please subscribe, leave us a rating and review, and until next time, have a great week.